Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Father, we ask in Jesus' name that your word will be powerful and mighty among us today. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're getting ready, as I'm sure you're aware, in this country to celebrate our 250th anniversary as a nation, something we called the American Revolution. Now, the definition of that word, revolution, the dictionary calls it a sudden, radical, or complete change, most commonly referred to the violent overthrow of a government or a fundamental shift in thinking, technology, or society. There have been, of course, other well-known revolutions around the world and at different times. The French had a revolution. There was a revolution in Russia. We are familiar now and hear much about the Iranian Revolution of 1979, when things changed in Iran and the Shah of Iran had to leave. But revolutions are not just political or military. We talk about the Industrial Revolution, a time in the world when things switched from farming to the factory, and there was this great upheaval. And these revolutions, these shifts in thinking, happen in other areas also. They happen in science. When Charles Darwin came out with the theory of evolution, this created a great revolution in science and in other realms, and it led to a period that was known as the Enlightenment. Revolutions happen in philosophy. When Friedrich Nietzsche wrote that God is dead, and that we have to create our own values and our own power, that we have to be as Superman. Don't know the German word, but there was a German word. And the Nazis, of course, took this teaching and ran with it. that God is dead was revolutionary. Revolutions in music. You may remember some of the times of the 60s and the music then of how they were going to turn things around and things were going to change, and they were revolutionaries. John Lennon even went as far as to say that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. There are also revolutions in the art world, right? Things that are done that are meant to be done just to flip everything upside down. In 2024, at the opening of the Paris Olympics, they did Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper, and it was done with drag queens, right? Shocking what happened. And of course, there are many other examples in the world of art of the things that have been done to be revolutionary. All of these are examples of attempts to overthrow the traditional thinking or the power structures that were currently going on. So when the Jewish leaders in Thessalonica accused Paul and Silas of turning the world upside down, they were saying, actually, if looking closely at that Greek phrase, what they were saying was that they were guilty of seditious and revolutionary activity. Seditious and revolutionary activity. They were trying to overthrow society. They were trying to create a major shift when they came out and said, no, it's not really Caesar who's king, it's Jesus who is king. They had no idea when they said this, that they are turning the world upside down. Those that have turned the world upside down are now here in Thessalonica. They really had no idea that that was exactly what was happening. They were right. A few hundred years from then, this great and fierce Roman Empire would take Christianity as its official religion. And the Christianity would spread all throughout the Roman Empire. Upside down. How did this happen? Well, they preached a message. They preached a gospel that first of all, transformed the individual, changed the person, so that they could then be catalysts for further transformation. And we see it all the time in the New Testament, right? Andrew meets Jesus, and what does he do? I gotta go find my brother and tell him. And different disciples would meet Jesus, and what do they do? I gotta go find this person. The woman at the well would meet Jesus and hear his words and hear his message. And she dropped her water pot and went and told everybody, you got to come see this guy. You got to hear what he has to say. The Holy Spirit comes on the Christians at Pentecost. And Acts 2 says, they then witnessed to the crowds. Before long, they were building a culture centered on biblical morality and compassion. Everywhere they went, they became change agents for society as well as individual souls. They're just here are just a few of the ways that the society actually changed because of the Christian message. Sanctity of life. Sanctity of life. The Romans did not value females or little girls that were born. And they would at times take these babies and put them on the garbage heap. They didn't want them. And it was the early Christians who went and got these baby girls and rescued them from the garbage heaps and took them into their homes and taught them the gospel and Christianity. Sexual morality is another area. The Greeks and the Romans, sexual promiscuity was rampant in Rome. I mean, every form of it that you can imagine was going on with the Romans, with the Greeks. When the message of Christianity comes along, all of a sudden, men and women become devoted to just one another, to their children, to their families. There's a major shift in the culture as far as sex. Giving was another way that society was transformed. The Romans practiced something called liberal ethos, which in plain English means you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. They were very suspicious of somebody who did something for somebody else and asked for nothing in return. Let me help you out. Let me give you this. Let me help you. And let me, you know, whether it be money or something else, and no, you don't have to pay me back. They were very suspicious. It was believed that nobody is like this. You are going to want something in return. I'm going to owe you. It was reciprocal charity. But the early Christians gave. They gave expecting nothing in return. We know that Paul took up collections. He took up collections from the Gentiles who were, remember, hated and despised by the Jews. But the famine comes, and so the Jerusalem Christians are starving, and it's the pagan Christians now surrounding the area who give for the church in Jerusalem. Giving, expecting nothing in return. Healthcare was another area. Plato said that a poor man who was no longer able to work because of his illness should be left to die. And that was the way society worked. We can see it in the gospel stories of the poor and the lame and their situation in life. And that was exactly what happened. If you were unable to work, or you were poor and you became ill, you were left on public roads to die. The Christians took care of these folks and started compassionate health care, which led to real hospitals being founded, like St. Basil of Caesarea in 369 AD. One of the first hospitals. Lives were changed. Lives were changed. Peter tells us today, writing to Christians, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. And to these same Thessalonians that we have here in Acts 17, Paul will later write to them. He will write to them and say, you Christians in Thessalonica, everybody's talking about you. Wow. We all see the change in your lives. You turn to God from idols. You're waiting for his son to come from heaven for his return. And we all see it. We're all talking about it. The changed life. People hear the gospel, their lives are changed, other people see it, they want to know what it's about, and they are told, and their lives are changed, and society begins to transform. A revolution. But I would suggest to you, it was not putting things upside down. It was actually
setting things right side up. It was setting things right side up. The messengers of Christ were sent to a wicked, messed up world to make things right side up. You're going along thinking, people are going along thinking, hey, everything's fine. I got my way, you got your way, we got these beliefs and those beliefs, and everything is good. We're all good here. We're all right. And then the gospel came, and it's shocking to hear the truth. It comes, and wow, you realize, no. No, you're actually not headed in the right direction. July 16th, 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife and his sister-in-law set out from New Jersey to go to Martha's Vineyard. He had not totally been trained in flying. He was advised to take an instructor that night. The weather was not good. Was not yet trained on flying with instruments. But he went anyway. It was a short flight. Thought perhaps it would be no problem. Investigators have now discovered that what happened that night, he was crashed into the Atlantic Ocean just outside of Martha's Vineyard, and they all died. What happened that night was something called spatial disorientation. Spatial disorientation. It means that you are unable to really understand or fly by your instruments, so you go by your sight. And it's night, there's fog, the weather's bad, and guess what? The skyline looks exactly like the ground, right? It looks exactly the same. And so you think you're heading up, you think you're going up into the sky, but what he did was he went right into the ground. It's a picture of a much more serious condition that has to do with our eternal souls, our hearts, our relationship with God. People think they're basically fine. I have my beliefs. I'm comfortable with that. I'm flying upright. I know the sky's above me and the ground's below me. Everything with God is just fine. But the truth is, that is exactly the opposite. God is opposing them. God is against them. Paul says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none that do good. No, not one. In the eyes of a holy God, all are unrighteous. All are headed in the wrong direction. We are living in an upside-down world. Oh, there are revolutions everywhere. There are revolutionaries. There are people who are changing it or going to change it, and they're going to turn it upside down. The world is drowning in lies, but Jesus is the truth. The world seems crazy. Jesus brings sanity. The world is in a rapid descent. And Jesus says, the gospel says, pull up, repent, pull out of this descent, of this fall. Look at the instruments, God's word, the gospel, and get right side up. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.